Representatives from across the globe are at the United Nations headquarters in New York this month working toward an arms trade agreement. Such a treaty would create strict regulations on the international trade of weapons of all kinds, with a focus on preventing the flow of weapons to conflict areas where there is a potential for war crimes and civil unrest. WBAI's Lucas Reckhaus has more.
The small arms trade is notorious as one of the most unregulated weapons industries. In Africa, 95% of all weapons used in armed conflicts come from outside the continent, with the AK-47 by far the most commonly used weapon. European countries such as Germany, France, Belgium, and the Ukraine, along with Russia and China, continue to lead in the export of small arms. Luis Belanger of Oxfam International, one of the groups involved with the UN negotiations, says the new treaty will address the lack of international regulation in two specific ways.
Less than half of all countries have any basic controls on the export of small arms. What the treaty is to try to do is two things. First, it will require all countries to adopt a basic standard of import-export control of all conventional weapons. That is everything from attack helicopters to small arms. Secondly, this treaty requires all exporting states to apply a set of criteria before transferring weapon. What that criteria is that an exporter would be required to assess the potential uses of that weapon. And if that weapon would be, there's a substantial risk it would be used for a serious violation of human rights or for violations of the laws of war, then that country would refuse to transfer that weapon.
Though the scale of small arms trade and the current lack of oversight are daunting, Bafour Amoah, president of the West African Action Network, says that the international community has a template to look to in the work of ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States.
West African governments took a bold initiative to convert a moratorium they had agreed upon years ago in the late 90s into a convention on small arms and light weapons. And this convention has provisions that promotes transparency, that allows states not to import weapons, especially from the Wassenaar arrangement. And they had to get what we call certificates of exemption from the ECOWAS Commission before they authorized. And before this certificate is issued, all member states must express their agreement with the ended import of weapons to the region. We believe this has been one of the greatest achievements of ECOWAS state in controlling the menace of arms in the region.
Belanger says that creating export restrictions will do a lot to eliminate the current gray areas in international law, which facilitate arms dealers selling to conflict-stricken areas.
By adopting that system of import and export controls, it will close some of the loopholes in the international system as they are now that allow arms dealers to flood weapons into places like West Africa.
Amoah says that the situation in West Africa has been improving of late through the work of ECOWAS and other groups, and that there has been an overall reduction in the number of illegal weapons in the region. Still, the figures remain high, and without continued work and increased international support, the gains could be short-lived.
For years, we were looking at the figure of 8 million. Illicit weapons in the circulating in the region. I think given the mobilization and buyback strategies and all that, probably we still will have close to 3 to 5 million illicit weapons in West Africa.
Belanger says that the priority has to be the control of ammunition sales and then weapons.
Really, the ammunition trade is of utmost importance because these weapons are only deadly if they are supplied with bullets. The ammunition can be expended all the time, as opposed to weapons which have a long lifespan.
For any system of regulations to be effective in combating the flow of small arms into a country, he says progress has to be made at all levels of governance, local, national, and international. Anyone alone will be insufficient.
I think it has to happen on all levels. By all levels, I mean the community level, the national level, and the international level. On the community level, it means programs that are working with people to help resolve their problems through nonviolent ways so they're not resolved through the gun. On the national level, it is having control of weapons flowing in and out of everyone's country. And on the international level, it's about exporters having responsibility for what they are transferring.
Amoa says the biggest challenge the spread of small arms creates is the inability of civil services to function in heavily armed areas. This creates a basic problem of societal organization and survival for residents, which, if left unresolved, only further fuels the demand for weapons.
The biggest challenge is that civil society, that is within communities where there are weapons, are not getting the necessary support to be able to do their community sensitization and education work. I mean, where there are illicit weapons, the police force are no match, because people run away when they see them. And therefore, you have the problem continuing. And we believe that a partnership between state and society will do a lot to earth where these weapons are hid.
The negotiations are set to come to a close by Friday. With many major international countries the primary export culprits in this debate, it remains unclear at what point the negotiations will be by then and whether a workable resolution is finally in sight. For WBAI News, this is Lucas Reckhouse.